Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. Today, we're going to talk about how we get from NAFTA to the USMCA that Trump just announced, the trade agreement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. We're part of the CrossPolitik Network. Go over to crosspolitik.com, become a member, get great benefits, get great shows, great content. Some of the stuff's only for members, so don't miss out on all that. Go be a member and go be blessed. Thank you for sharing the show with a friend, subscribing, giving us those 5-star reviews. That helps us grow, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, you want to reach out to me, find me on Twitter, Instagram, How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. Appreciate the love on social media as well. Thank you for all those who've reached out. All right, so today Trump announced that the agreement that had the deadline of the end of last month in September, they came to an agreement. And it is called the USMCA, the United States-Mexican-Canadian Agreement, or Mexico-Canada Agreement. And Trump says it replaces NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement that Bill Clinton signed into law in 1994. But really what it is, if you take the politics out of it, is just some modifications to NAFTA as it is. So what is NAFTA, and then what are the additions or the changes made that Trump and the Mexican and Canadian governments agreed to? So starting off, like I said, NAFTA was signed into law. It was kind of a brainchild of Reagan, actually, but eventually signed into law after being passed through Congress by Bill Clinton in 94. And it had 7 main goals, according to Article 102 of NAFTA. It was to have the 3 nations have favorable status, which just means they get treated as fairly as any other country. They get the most favorable treatments with quotas, with tariffs, and all the other restrictions and regulations. They get treated as fair as anyone else. They get most favorable status. 2, eliminates trade barriers. 3, promotes fair competition. 4, increase investment. 5, protect intellectual property. 6, create trade dispute resolutions. And 7, establish a framework for further trilateral agreements. So a lot of good free market stuff. I actually am a big fan of NAFTA, and I'm also really glad to hear that a lot of NAFTA is staying. So how did it do on those 7 points? If you look at the GDP, which is consumption, investment, government spending, and net imports, that is the exports minus imports, it really did amazing. It really succeeded in doing all that it set out to do. There is some pros and cons to it that I want to just touch really quickly. So the pros is it quadrupled trade among the countries. Trade is always a beautiful thing. It eliminated a lot of tariffs, which is taxes on the people of the country. It increased U.S. growth by estimated 0.5% a year, which is huge. It created 5 million new American jobs, it's estimated, primarily in agricultural, automotive, and healthcare and financial services. It increased foreign investment. It tripled. U.S. invested $452 billion in Mexico and Canada, and Mexico and Canada, in return, invested $240 billion into the U.S., which, if you consider Mexico a poorer country, that's a lot of money, even though we invested far more, which is good. Investment is good. The companies that are investing in those other countries are expecting a return. It's not like the money's wasted in those other countries. Another great thing, another pro of NAFTA that a lot of people look over or don't realize is it opened up government contracts to companies from the other countries. So what that does is it increases competition, which always lowers prices, and it usually brings a better product because people are competing with more competitors and they have to up their game. So the cons that people say against NAFTA is that we lost about 500,000 to 750,000 jobs, which is pretty significant. Primarily, we lost them in Democrat states, California, New York, Michigan, and Texas. And primarily, we lost those in the automotive, textile jobs, some computer appliances, all the low-skilled, low-labor jobs that we could easily export out to other countries that pay less, that it costs less to employ because of benefits and all those things, we did. We pretty much moved them to Mexico, which is one of the things Trump wants to address. And one of the political points that he brought up time and time again on his campaign and as a president as well. Another thing that it did was suppressed wages because there was more laborers available. They could find workers outside their own country, and we can go to Canada and Mexico. That means there was more available workers. And when there's more supply, the prices go down because it's not as competitive. You're not, workers aren't in high of demand because there's so many. So it becomes a employer's market instead of the employee's market. So it lowered wages. And it also put 1.3 million farmers in Mexico out of business. And so now what we see is those Mexican workers, that farmers come and they work on the farms in the United States. So those are some cons. Most people agree, if you are not a protectionist, if you are not a nationalist that is against trade altogether, most people say that NAFTA was a net benefit, which that is what economic studies, right? You study the scarcity of resources, and there's always going to be trade-offs. There are going to be jobs that are lost, but there's going to be jobs gained. You may lose production of one product or service, but you may be able to produce or create a service more efficiently than those other products that you lose. And economics is the study of those trade-offs. So there's going to be winners and losers in any deal that you make at a national level. Most people agree that the United States was a big winner in the NAFTA agreement. So what is this U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement? What's in it? It's supposed to cover about $1.2 trillion worth of trade. It's a lot of cash. Not as much as our debt, but it's still a lot of cash. The main points, the first one is intellectual property. The United States has been hammering China over this, stealing our property, our intellectual property, stealing them from businesses that China invests in, and they force them to give over their secrets, and then they re-engineer those things and make it themselves at a cheaper product or a cheaper price. So that's been a big thing that Trump's been working on. And what this does is it requires Mexico and Canada to treat U.S. copyrights just like their own copyrights in their own country. So they have to take as serious our copyrights in the United States as they do their own, which is a big one. 10-year protection on drugs, so you can't just go to another country and re-engineer drugs that just come out, which is great because it allows the companies that come out with these new drugs that are life-saving at times, that help that better people's life, it allows them to get a return on the investment to invest in more. It helps with them being able to treat illnesses to create a better quality of life for us. And then there's some stronger trade secret protections that I didn't really get into. The next big part of this is for U.S. farmers. And this is huge because China and the trade war with the U.S. have been going back and forth and targeting farmers in areas where states that voted for Trump to get them to kind of hit him politically. So there's this big carve out for U.S. dairy, allowing Canada to allow more milk and butter and those kinds of things into Canada that they restricted, and along with chicken, eggs, turkey. So the farming community is going to be really helped out with this new agreement or this modification to NAFTA. Another big sector is the auto sector. 40 to 45% of cars produced by workers must make at least $16 or more in minimum wage. And this is bad for the economy as a whole because that's going to increase prices. And it also might not really help out auto workers in the long run either, because what we're going to see, just like what we saw in McDonald's and other low-skilled industries, is they're going to turn to robotics. They're going to return to automation to replace these jobs and to have a more efficient, cheap product to lower the prices and to be competitive. So it doesn't even necessarily mean in the long term that this is going to help low-skilled labor. It just might be an intermediate or short-term boost to get more low-skilled workers in the United States. But in the long run, we're going to see robotics and automation take over these jobs. We've already seen it in a lot of ways, how the car companies have roboticized, implemented robotics to the production line. Another big thing is this is what they call rules of origin. It requires automakers to use more U.S. parts, up to 75% of the cars from 62.5%. And this is going to, again, lead to higher car prices because things are more expensive in the United States. So this is going to hit us in the economy. Cars are going to be more expensive because of the labor and the parts are going to increase in price. And the companies don't eat that. The consumer does. So prices, look for prices to go up in cars. There's also an exemption up to a specific amount from any tariffs that Trump is going to add in the future. There's basically a quota where they're exempt from the tariffs that Trump may introduce. Another big point of this is labor protections. It's going to allow the Mexican workers to unionize, and Mexico has to allow them to do that. There's about 1,000 other products that are impacted as well. So there's a lot that's still to dive into, a lot to see. Basically, from what I've seen, this is a big political play that is going to pay off those states that Trump's going to be looking for in re-election. It's going to cost us more money because it's going to increase the cost of labor, and it's going to increase the cost of materials in the auto industry. It does help farmers in a big way, especially because they're getting hit right now with tariffs from China. So I don't expect there to be a major shift from this. It's probably going to be more of a political talking point. There's some changes that we're going to see those higher prices in cars. But other than that, it seems like business as usual. Hope that helps. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, let me know. You can tweet me or Instagram. Find me on Instagram at How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matthowtobuildatent.com. And we'll talk to you next time. God bless.